Good morning, church. Burke, I appreciate you. You did a great job leading us in our song worship this morning. And I don't know about you guys, but that last song moved me. And so I appreciate Burke, and it's good to see you back up here. For the sake of our visitors, and welcome to our visitors, we want you to know that we consider you to be our honored guest. Your presence encourages us. I am not the regular evangelist here at the South Fayette Church. Brother Chris is traveling up in New York this weekend with Dee Dee. They are up there for the funeral services of Dee Dee's Aunt Gayette. So let's keep the Sanders family in mind and keep them in our prayers as they are dealing with the loss of a loved one. And also the Lyons family, please keep them in your prayers as they are also dealing with the loss of Jennifer's mother. If you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to our text, that will be the focus this morning, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll be studying together verses 46 through 52. Our focus for the next few minutes will be on the subject of faith. In our text this morning, the Greek word for faith is pistis, and that is defined as firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. In Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 17, we read, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Where do you stand with your faith, your conviction this morning? How firm is your persuasion? We live in a country that is slowly but surely turning its back on God. In the United States, belief in Christianity is at an all-time low, shrinking from 75% of Americans in 2011 to 63% in 2021, a 12% decrease over that period of time. 29% of Americans now identify as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, which is an 11% increase from just 10 years ago. As our country turns away, we hear more about mass shootings, violence, rage over the abortion debate, the LGBTQIA agenda, hatred, lying, stealing, cheating, gambling, divorce, broken homes, dependence on drugs and alcohol, anger, division, finger-pointing. The list goes on and on. The moral compass of our society is eroding. How is our faith standing up as society erodes around us? Satan is constantly on the attack with doubt, distortion, discouragement, and distractions, dividing us against ourselves. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. This morning, let us reflect on our faith and be encouraged as we look to the faith of a blind beggar. Let's read our text together, beginning in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning in verse 46. "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus' faith was bigger than his station in life. Bartimaeus was a beggar. He had been relegated to sitting by the road and begging, a life station of poverty. Sometimes we get in our own way. We may feel we don't hold a position of influence or power. What can I do? Who am I to stand up, stand out, shout out, cry out? Who will listen to me? Bartimaeus, a beggar, sitting by the road and asking for alms, did not allow his social status to keep him from crying out to Jesus. No matter our station in life, God can and will use us for his purpose. Jesus' inner circle consisted of fishermen and a tax collector. We can choose to carry out God's purpose for our lives, whether we are a CEO or a stay-at-home parent, an All-American or a bench player, a teacher or a student, upper class or lower class, wealthy or poor. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Our value, saints, is in who we are, not in what we do. Our role, our position, our career, our social media followers or likes do not matter. We are children of the God Most High. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.'" Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. No matter our station in life, we should work hard, understanding that our work is accomplished to serve and honor God rather than men. We must trust that God will use us for his purpose, his plan, his will, right where we are, as long as we have a faith like that of Bartimaeus. His faith was bigger than his station in life. Bartimaeus' faith was bigger than his disability. Bartimaeus was blind. He could not physically see Jesus walking on the road that day. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Mark chapter 10, verse 47. Remember the definition of faith, a conviction based upon hearing. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was present. He obviously had heard about Jesus, about the signs and miracles he had done. Bartimaeus' faith was based upon hearing and not on seeing. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Bartimaeus did not allow his blindness to be a hindrance to his faith in Jesus. In fact, his faith that Jesus was the Messiah led him to ask him to restore his sight. "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Sometimes we use our disabilities as an excuse. They become a hindrance to our faith. We do not all have severe physical disabilities such as blindness, but we all have areas of weakness. We may not be the smartest or the most polished public speakers or the quickest on our feet during conversations. We may lack confidence in ourselves and in our abilities. We allow our areas of weakness to become bigger than our faith in ourselves and in God. We hold ourselves back. Our areas of weakness become excuses. "I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know what to say. I can't." Moses lacked faith in himself. We read this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, through Exodus chapter 4 and verse 13. Moses' five excuses are as follows. "I'm not good enough. I don't have all the answers. People won't believe me. I'm not a good public speaker. I'm not qualified." God had an answer for each of Moses' excuses and ultimately used his brother Aaron to help Moses where he was weak. God will use us where we are and with what we have as long as we believe and trust in God. Paul's thorn in the flesh is a great encouragement to us. "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Saints, let us not allow disabilities or weaknesses to hinder our faith. Let's do the best we can with what we have, where we are. Bartimaeus' faith was bigger than his disability. Bartimaeus' faith was bigger than the naysayers. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent." Mark chapter 10, verses 47 and 48. All of us have critics and naysayers in our lives. Our naysayers can come from family, friends, co-workers, teammates, those on social media, those in the communities in which we live. We are surrounded by people who want us to remain seated and quiet. They do not want us as Christians to stand up, stand out, shout out, cry out. And oftentimes, we listen to the naysayers and we remain silent, content to sit by the roadside as opportunities pass us by. We allow the naysayers to become bigger than our faith. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Our faith in and our reverence for God must be bigger than our fear of man. Fear of what the naysayers may think or say or do, or maybe even those who we may offend. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Do we believe in the power of the gospel? Do we believe the critics and the naysayers need to hear it? Theodore Roosevelt said, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. We must choose to be in the arena, fighting for the worthy cause of Christ, rather than sitting quietly on the roadside as Christ passes us by. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Mark chapter 10, verses 48 and 49. Bartimaeus' faith was bigger than the naysayers. Bartimaeus' faith led him to a bias towards action. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verses 49 and 50. When Jesus called, Bartimaeus did not hesitate. He sprang up into action. Is our faith such that when Jesus calls, we spring into action? Or, like Moses, do we hesitate, doubt ourselves, and make excuses? How do we respond when we have an opportunity to teach a Bible class, lead a portion of worship, fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, visit the sick, lend a helping hand, share the gospel with those who desperately need to hear it? Do we have a bias towards action when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to our personal Bible study? How do we answer when God calls? "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. When God called Isaiah, he, like Bartimaeus, was ready to act. Jesus has called us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." How are we responding to that call? Are we springing into action like Bartimaeus and Isaiah? Or are we hesitating, lacking faith in ourselves and in the power of the gospel message? My dad used to say the following quote to me frequently: "Upon the plains of hesitation lie the bleached bones of countless thousands who upon the dawn of victory paused to rest and there died." God is calling us to action. Let's not hesitate and miss opportunities. Bartimaeus' faith led him to a bias towards action. And finally, Bartimaeus' faith led him to choose the way rather than his way. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Mark chapter 10, verse 52. Bartimaeus received from Jesus what he had asked for. His sight was restored. Jesus said to him, "Go your way." Bartimaeus could have made the decision to leave Jesus at that point, having received what he had asked for and gone his own way. How often do we, when things are going our way, let our faith slip, as we believe we have it all together? Life is good. We have everything we need. I've got this. When life gets hard, we tend to question God. Why is this happening to me? Is our faith such that we consistently follow Jesus the way, every day, regardless of the circumstances of our lives, whether life is going our way or not? In John chapter 14 and verse 6, we read, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How important is it, regardless of our station in life, our disabilities, the naysayers, whether things are going our way or not, that we continue to walk in the way, that we continue to faithfully follow Jesus regardless of our circumstances. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. God is calling us to walk in the way. Are we faithful enough to do it? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 reads, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Where is your faith this morning? Are you riding on the easy bus that is taking you straight to destruction? Or are you choosing to handle hard better? Are you choosing to walk in the way that few find but leads to eternal life? Bartimaeus' faith led him to choose the way rather than his way. In conclusion, Bartimaeus' faith was bigger than his station in life, was bigger than his disability, was bigger than the naysayers, led him to a bias towards action, and led him to choose the way rather than his way. As our country loses faith and continues to erode morally, God is calling us to strengthen and have a faith like Bartimaeus's this morning. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Perhaps this morning your faith is not where it needs to be. You have the opportunity to come forward and let your needs be known. As your brothers and sisters in Christ, we are here for you. We will encourage you. We will pray for you. We will help you any way that we can. Perhaps you have yet to commit your life to Christ. You now have the opportunity to begin your journey in the way, in His way, that leads to eternal life. First, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You must repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. You must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Rising from the waters of baptism, you must live faithfully until the end. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. The invitation is yours. Won't you come forward while we stand and while we sing?